Hey everybody, Darren Garman here, and I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. We've got a lot of information to cover. I am I'm on a mission on this podcast, and the mission is to be communicating some what I consider not just very important, but super important information to you on what you need to know about what's going on out there in the marketplace. And I'm mainly talking about financial markets. The nice thing about what I do is I get to rub elbows, or however you want to put it, rub shoulders, elbows, I don't know. I get to be around people that are really in the know and they're really smart folks. And I guess to say I've got like insider information on things would be really inaccurate. But in terms of having relationships with really smart people that understand what's going on and see what's going on, and you know, you throw me into that, especially with what I see going on with real estate, because I'm in it. I'm like up to my eyeballs in it day after day. You get from time to time, you get some pretty good information and some information that you can use. And so I want to share this information with you. And it comes from one of my longtime partners who's been with me a long time. And it actually came from a phone call we recently had. And this really got me thinking on a number of things. And so that's what we're going to talk about, is what's going on out there and why you need to know about it. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's probably because you probably read an email, you got information from me, maybe look at my newsletter, and you saw what one of your partners was screaming, "What the hell just happened? I got to find out about this." So let me talk to you about the phone call, because that's really an important part of this. So this partner of mine, been with me a long time. Him and I were just, he called me actually to talk about Heartland Investment Partners and the flagship fund and just some general questions about what was going on and what we're up to. And then the call turns into, you know, talking about family, what are your kids doing, what's going on here and there. And then he, all of a sudden he goes off on a tangent and he starts bitching about his stocks and how they're not doing anywhere near what he thought they would do, and he's not getting any sleep. And okay, so I'm looking at this from my point of view, thinking, hey buddy, the stock market's at like an all-time high. It's doing great, at least from what I can see. Mutual funds the same thing pretty much. And so what are you bitching about? I mean, I don't get it. So here's what he tells me. And by the way, so before I tell you this, he had a bunch of money in real estate in from 2004 to 2009 in places like Arizona and Florida. So what that translates into, to be blunt, is he lost his ass in real estate, because, and he didn't have all of his ass, all of his money invested, but he had quite a bit. So that stung a lot. And so now, of course, he's been very, very careful about where he's investing his money and putting his money. And I get it. I understand. So I want to preface what I'm going to tell you by you knowing that, because it's important to know. So here's what he tells me. He's not getting much sleep at night. He's worrying about his investments more now than he ever has. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you just went through this real estate crash in Arizona and Florida. I don't get it. The market's doing great. The stock market's doing great. Like I said, I don't get it. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, the markets are now more volatile than they've ever been before. I said, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Here's what he tells me. He said, it was like one night I went to bed feeling really great about where I was at financially. The next day, I wake up and I'm listening to the news and I'm listening to all these things going on. And by things, he's talking about economic, social, and political events. What I call, or what I like to term, unrelated investment events. That's my term for them. Okay. And so he's talking about these unrelated investment events that are going on. And he's telling me that he's listening to this stuff as he's getting up in the morning. And he's wondering, that sounds interesting. So he's not thinking much about it, but he's just being caught up on the economic, social, political news of the day, right? So he goes about his day, doing his work, working late. So he's working late and he's on his way back home after an appointment. And he's listening to late night radio. And of course, part of it is news about, you know, how the stock market, you know, the Dow closed at whatever today, and here's why, and here's what's going on. Well, the Dow took a hit this day, particular day. And it was because, not because how his companies were doing, how his investments in these companies were doing with stocks or mutual funds he was involved in. It was because of news of a terrorist attack somewhere. And so because there was all this concern, this terrorist attack happened, his investments took a dive. And so he starts thinking, what the hell's going on here? Why would my investments in these companies take a dive based on something that has nothing to do with my investments? So we're talking about this. And now he's starting to really think about this and pay more attention to it. So what he finds out over about a month period of time is about any time there's real or fake news, good or bad, and most of the time this news has nothing to do with how well his companies are doing financially, how much more market share the companies he's invested in have gotten, how well their business models are going, the movement of their stock price, the movement of their share values in mutual funds, are mainly based on this news and not how good or bad the company's doing. So here's what he tells me. He says, look, I've got the most volatile investment mix I've ever had. Okay. And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, look, I don't know where my values are going to be from 1 hour to the next. It all depends on whether I'm going to hear good news or bad news. And 99% of the news I hear, which he says, and a lot of it's fake news, Darren. He says, a lot of the news that I hear is fake. And whether it's good, bad, real, or fake, my investments are moving around and are being valued based on all of that information, not because how well the investments are doing. And I told him, you know what? I've been telling my partners and my clients that now for a couple of years. So I said, I'm not surprised that you're saying that, but to hear you say it, I kind of felt good about it. It kind of reaffirms what I'm thinking and what I've been telling my my partners and my clients. And then he added this little extra, which I thought was interesting. He said, the financial markets anymore are so interconnected that it's scary. And he told me that the other day, his IRA, value of his IRA within a two-day period went down more than it had in value than it had within the last 3 to 4 months because of the missile exercises being done in North Korea. He said, that's the reason why. And he said, Darren, my investments have nothing to do with North Korea. And he basically says, how in the hell did this happen? Good question. Really good question. And it's a conversation I have more often than not anymore. I bet you at least, I'm going to say once a week, once every 10 days, I'm having this kind of conversation. And so here's the critical thing you really need to understand, because he's right. And there's some really critical things you need to understand about this. And there's some critical things you need to understand about where investments are going, I think, especially in the next 5 to 7 years. So let's talk about this right now. conventional financial market investments now and in the future will perform more on the reaction to news and events than by the investment performances themselves. That's pretty much it. Again, I call them unrelated investment events. Unrelated things that happen affect the investment that you have in company X, mutual fund Y, bond Z, and they have nothing to do with it at all, but they tank anyway because of this event. And the other important part of this is that it's mainly due to all of the investments now, especially in the conventional markets, interconnectivity with each other. So I want you to think about something. You think about 50 years ago. Bad news traveled slower. Good news traveled slower. Things took a lot longer to change, didn't they? Okay. So, hell, I remember 20, 25 years ago. Things took a lot longer to change. News did not travel so fast, good or bad. And so there was not the interconnectivity that you have today. So you could have bad news, and your investment would be fine because it'd take 3 days to get out to everybody. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you're following me. And there wasn't the interconnectivity that you see today that investments have with each other. And so back then, you didn't have the wild swings that you see on an hourly basis in the conventional financial markets. And in addition to that, the thing you certainly didn't have was the opportunity for a computer virus or a hacker to break in and ruin everything. You didn't have that issue either. Now you got them both. Why? Because of the interconnectivity. And so when it comes to, I want you to think about this. And by the way, I don't like any of this. I don't. But this is what we're looking at. When you think about minimum risk versus maximum risk, right? When you think about what I would call realistic continued growth or values changing by the hour, okay? When you think about investments isolated from theft, interconnectivity, computer hackers, or vulnerable to technology versus investments not vulnerable to technology, it's a pretty easy test to take in terms of what you would prefer. And unfortunately, the conventional markets are turning into a place where you have more risk and more exposure than you've ever had. And by the way, the other thing I'll mention to you is you feel really comfortable about that bank CD you've got or the CD you got sitting at the True Value Credit Union. That's all good. But remember, all of those systems are hooked up to a computer and a network somewhere waiting to be broken into. Okay. Now look, I'm not purposely talking, oh geez, this is all terrible. I'm not necessarily, but I want you to understand and realize what's going on. And not only that, when I have these kinds of conversations with partners, with investment clients, often this is what's on your minds, and it should be. Now here's the other real interesting thing. So let's do a 180. Let's do a 180 here for just a second. I'm going to tell you a story. About 3 years ago, not quite 3 years ago, but pretty close. By the way, before I tell you the story, I spend a ton of time behind the scenes prospecting the crap out of apartment property owners, investment property owners. So look, you guys don't know this because you don't see it, but what's going on in the background is if someone in the and if someone in Eastern Iowa owns an apartment property or an investment property, they hear from me constantly. I am prospecting the crap out of them. Call them, mail, email, you name it. Why? Because when they decide to sell, I want us, my partners, my clients to have first shot at that property. So I do a ton of marketing behind the scenes. So about 3 years ago, I'm on the phone and I'm cold calling. And I'm not really cold calling anymore because most of these people I've talked to more than once, but I'm calling them again. And I got a hold of a guy that owned a 400 plus unit property in Cedar Rapids. I'll make a long story very short for you. I asked if he was interested in selling it. He said yes. I was pleasantly surprised. Going through a partnership breakup. I asked him how much he thought he would want for it. Because I would love to own this property. It would be great. If you're one of my partners, it is the kind of property we want to own. He tells me $75,000 per unit. And I know many of you don't know what that really means in my marketplace, so I'll just tell you really quickly. It's about twice as much as what most apartment units sell for in this marketplace. I almost laughed when he said $75,000 a unit. And so I didn't, but I did what most smart people would do, is I said, well, okay, do you have any flexibility on your price? He said, no, I don't. I said, really? And he could sense my, I don't want to say sarc, he could sense my my questioning his thought process on the value. He could sense that I thought it wasn't even worth close to that. So here's what he says to me. He says, look, I know I can get $75,000 a unit for this. And if, not in so many words, he basically said, if you're not interested in paying me that much money for this property, I can get it on the market and I will get that much money for it. I'm thinking, yeah, good luck. It's not going to happen. So I don't say that to him, but I did wish him good luck. And I told him, you know, if things don't work out, you don't get your price, and please let me know because we'd have an interest in buying it. Hang up the phone. I'm saying to myself, this guy's lost his mind. There's no way he's going to get this much money for the property. Here's what he tells me. Here's what he tells me. But here's what I find out not too much later. He was absolutely right. Absolutely right. So I go from thinking the guy's never going to get that kind of money for his property to a few months later, big headline in my local newspaper here. The headline reads, apartment property sells for $32 million. That's a real number, $32 million. I'm like, what? I read it, and this guy sold the property for what he wanted for it, which in my opinion was twice as much more than what the property was worth. How does this happen? How? I was shocked. I was pissed off. I'm still pissed off by it, by the way. I don't like missing out on really good opportunities. But I got to get to the bottom of this, right? What's going on here? So I find out a investment group out of California bought it. So I spent, I don't know, 5-6 days tracking down their director of acquisitions because I got to talk to this guy. And I didn't want to sound like I was a, you know, like a real estate agent or broker or someone just, you know, looking for information because I thought he'd never talk to me then. So I approached him as a fellow apartment owner in the market and maybe we can do something together. You know, maybe we can buy our property sometime. We can buy yours. Maybe, can we do something together? That's how I approached it. So he took my call. I don't know, after like 5 or 6 days, he finally takes my call. So we're talking about how we can maybe work together. So I ask him during the call. It didn't take me long. I said, okay, Let me ask you a question. You guys recently bought Windsor on the River. That's the name of the property, right? They said, yeah. So, okay. Why would you guys buy an apartment property in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, of all places, for $32 million, for $70,000 a unit? I'm just kind of surprised by that. Here's what he told me. Basically said, look, you know, our stockholders are wanting to own quality apartment properties that are insulated from conventional market swings, but, and here's what he said, but they also want a decent income and a decent return. He said, Darren, an apartment property in Iowa, even at $70,000+ a unit, provides our stockholders the insulation that they're looking for, the level of comfort that they're looking for, and they get a good return on their money. Wow. Now, at the time, it didn't really hit me like that. I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay, that must be their philosophy, and I move on. I note it, you know, I kind of file it away, and I start moving on. So you fast forward to a few months ago. 110-unit apartment property is for sale, a block away from a 48-unit property we already own, and a 100-unit property we already own, and a half a mile from a 72-unit property we already own. So do you think I want to own this property? Hell yes, we want to own it for all of those reasons, and bottom line, this would be a great project. So I go look at the property, I inspect it, I get a broker called me, said he had it for sale. I go look at it, inspect it. I'm thinking, okay, how much am I going to make an offer for? I made an offer for $4,400,000 or $40,000 a unit. And I'm stressing out making the $40,000 a unit offer. I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going overboard. I'm paying more than I should. That's what I'm thinking. And I submit the offer anyway, thinking, oh boy, okay, all right, I'm just going to do it. And I'm like freaking out about this. Here's what happens. I submit the offer. I don't hear anything. I'm like, that's weird. Why in the heck am I not hearing anything? I submit a $4,400,000 offer on this property. Why am I not hearing anything? At least, well, here's what our counteroffer would be, or here's what we, nothing. So I'm making phone calls after a couple of days. Here's what I find out. They didn't even consider my offer. They're only looking at offers in the $60,000 plus unit range. I made an offer for $40,000 a unit. They want 50% more per unit than what I offered them. I said, there's no way you're going to get that. There's no way. Well, you know where I'm going with this story, don't you? I found out a month ago it sold for over $60,000 a unit. And this is for, in my mind, a $40,000 unit property. So what's going on here? Here's what's going on, guys. There's a trend going on. It's been going on. It's been going on actually now for a few years. But now, and over the last few years, it's been really under the surface. You really haven't seen much of it. You might have heard a few things here, a few things there, but now it's becoming more and more evident, especially for guys like me who are in the real estate world up to their eyeballs every day. And here it is. Investors are now looking for, and they're willing to pay, a premium for investments that do not react to change in value due to outside political, economic, or social events. That's it. And here's the result of that, by the way. Result of that is, if you own apartment properties, you're going to be able to command larger profits in the future when it comes time to sell because of investors, I guess I'd call it willingness, to pay huge premiums for stable apartment properties that will help them avoid market uncertainty. Okay? That's what they want. And our, you know, properties, especially conservative markets with conservative kind of properties, fit that to a T, because it helps these investors avoid market uncertainty because of our track records of our properties, the condition, and the cash flow. Okay? And so that's what's going on right now. You've got markets being more sensitive to any little piece of good, bad, fake, real news or event, political, social, economic, and investments turning by the hour, changing by the hour. Values, because of that, in conventional markets, and being subject to being hacked into, being hit by a virus, being stolen, and I'm not even going to get into identity theft and all that kind of stuff. You've got the solution. And investors are finding the solution to this as investment real estate, especially apartments, storage facilities, some kinds of commercial property, etc. And so it used to be, it's kind of funny. So, I mean, I've written 4 books and I've got another one coming out. Every one of the books I talk about, real estate is great because here's what you get. Income, tax savings, you get to build up equity, there's tax deferral options, and I go on and on about, you know, you can get into management, there's appreciation, et cetera, et cetera. I've talked about all those things, which I'm sure is not news to you. But I need to add 2 more things to that. And probably should have added them 2 years ago when that Windsor Park, Windsor on the River property sold for $75,000 a unit. And here it is. Apartments also provide, in addition to what I just told you, a sense of predictability and insulation from unrelated investment events, period. Okay? Because if you think about it, people still need a place to live. They're always going to need a place to live. And apartments provide that. That's not going away. And people will still go home every night, will still pay rent every month, no matter what North Korea does with their missiles, no matter what kind of real or fake news comes up, no matter what the stock market does that day, yesterday, today, next year, 2 years ago, people are still going to pay rent and they're still going to live in an apartment. That's always going to happen. And by the way, no one's going to be able to break into my my brick 168-unit Forest Ridge apartment complex with a computer. Nobody's going to hack into the complex. Nobody's going to be able to disrupt what's going on there. That's not going to happen. So I want you to think about that and how much of a premium investment benefit that is now for investors. And this is a trend that has been going on now for a few years, but now it's really starting to gain some momentum. And it's investors wanting apartments, investment properties like apartments, to not only get a good return on their money, a decent return, but to protect them from all of the drama and downside of traditional financial markets. Okay. And here's the deal. I think if you own apartments, you are going to be in a fortunate position of having exactly what more and more investors are going to want in the future. And it's going to continue. So, like I said, I saw it starting to develop a couple of years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago. And again, at the time, I didn't know it was developing. So there's no way I can say, oh yeah, I saw that developing 3 years ago. I didn't. I noticed it, I filed it, but I didn't process it like I'm processing it now. And based on all of the events that I've seen, especially in the real estate market from then until now, and especially with at least the two examples I've given you, this is what's going on. And it's going to be even more the case. And I think it's a great position to be in. And so to go all in on investment real estate, specifically apartments, I think is something that most people should think about. Now, let me tell you what my definition of all in is. It's not every single penny you've got. Okay. My definition is as much as you can comfortably invest and still have some capital liquid for, you know, things, depending on your age, could be, you know, things you're doing in your retirement, all the way to, you know, you're not retiring. It's just to have enough capital and cash available for things that might come up, emergencies, or things you want to do. So you don't feel like you're asset rich and cash poor. Okay. But I'm telling you, I am all in on this because the writing is on the wall. Investment partners that I'm talking to, I gave you one example, of course, of, you know, what the hell is going on. That guy, I talk to at least somebody once a week, or at least every 10 days about this kind of thing. And it's happening and it's starting. You don't see it in the news right now. You're not seeing much of it, if any of it, because it's not really gotten out there yet. It's still behind the curtain. But I'm telling you, it's coming out. And when it comes out, you're going to want to be somebody that really, really will be happy that you own as many apartment units, especially in conservative markets, as you can. Okay. And as a matter of fact, I think most people will find that they're overinvested in conventional type investments and will start making moves to own more investment real estate. You know how the herd goes. You know, everybody starts following everybody else. And what happens with most people, they end up getting there too late. But if we own the asset, if you own the asset that many people are going to want to have, more and more people are going to want to have, what does that do to the value of that asset? Pretty easy. Goes up a lot. Now, here's the other interesting thing that really kind of made this a closed case for me. And it has to do with demand for apartments from renters. Okay. If you look and do your research, you're going to find that we are now a nation of renters, not owners. And look, by the way, I'm not saying that people aren't buying homes. They're not buying condos. They're not being owners because millions of people are. I mean, they're doing, I don't know, I drove by probably two or three new developments in Cedar Rapids today as I was looking at our apartments. So in no way am I saying that that has stopped. But for the average American, the average person today cannot qualify or does not want to own or cannot afford the daily cares of life expenses of owning their own home. Okay. Either they don't want to own it because they want the flexibility and they want to live somewhere where they can pay, in most cases, less rent than what a loan payment's going to be. And very much less when you factor in maintenance and care of your own property. And even if you own a condo, by the way, you still got to repair and take care of stuff inside, new carpet, new furniture, I mean, painting. I mean, you still got expenses, right? So you've got that, and we are a nation of renters. We are a rental society now, not an owner society. And this trend is going to continue to grow in a big, big way. Why? Cost of living. Okay. Cost of living is going up so fast compared to wages, it's not even funny. Gone are the days of dad working that one job, mom and the kids staying home, dad brings home the paycheck, everybody's happy, everybody can have all the fun they want, live in their own home, go on big vacations. Those days for most people are gone. Why? Everybody's got to work. Everybody's got to work. And that's just to pay the bills. That's not counting, geez whiz, if you want to put money away, you want to save a little money, you want to have a little bit of fun, that everybody's got to work. Think about it. How many people do you know, especially what I would call younger people, who are working? They're all working because they have to. And it's not going to get any better. And I'm not even going to bring in costs like college tuition and having your own automobile or any of those buying groceries. I'm not even going to go into that. It's not easy being an average American financially today. What does that mean? It means two things. One, people are still going to need a place to live, and they're still going to need to have an affordable, the most affordable place to live that will give them a predictable idea of what their monthly cost is going to be to live there and will give them the ability to have more money in their pocket. They're not going to be able to qualify to buy houses or condos. Many of them won't be able to afford it. And hell, a lot of them, even if they can, are choosing, no, I don't want to. Now, what does that do for apartments? Well, just with our management company this week, we have more people wanting to rent apartments than we've got apartments available. Okay? We got more people calling us saying, I want to rent. We don't have what they want. They're full. We're full. They're either full or they're being worked on and they're just not on the market ready to rent yet. Okay? This is going on now. I'm telling you, in the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be twice as bad. So you throw these market forces together. And this really kind of brings me full circle to what I wanted to talk to you about and the main reason I wanted to get this information out on this podcast. You come full circle. I want you to see what market forces are going on right now. You've got investments that are pretty much unsafe because they're flying all over the place with value changes and adjustments by the hour, mainly because of their interconnectivity. My partner's right. The interconnectivity is the main reason. And not only that, you've got all of this conventional market investment subject to computer hackers, viruses. Then there's the WannaCry virus. That's a recent virus. How many thousands of businesses that shut down globally? It's crazy. And it's because of that interconnectivity. Coupled with that is you've got the alternative, which, as I told you, the trend was started a few years ago, and now I'm realizing it. People are wanting insulated investments that do not subject them to the drama, the market swings, the unpredictability, and, to be frank, the bullshit that they're going through by having a conventional investment, right? And in addition to that, the trend for apartment properties to become more valuable because of the demand, not only from more and more investors that are starting to get on this bandwagon and want what apartment owners, what we, if you're one of my partners right now, have, it's going to become more and more valuable to them. But what's going to continue to drive that value up in those apartments is the ever-growing line of tenants that want to rent the apartments. This is what's going on right now. You're not seeing it, and I promise you, you're going to start seeing this in the news. You will. Little snippets here, little snippets there. You're going to start seeing it. And you're going to say to yourself, you know what? That Garmin on that podcast, he talked about this. He's talked about this. And look, I never, ever see myself as the kind of person that, you know, I don't look into a crystal ball and I'm not a financial guru and I don't predict that kind of stuff because I don't know. Frankly, at the end of the day, I don't know. But I do know what I'm seeing. And I do know with when I'm seeing things and the kind of traction that everything that I mentioned to you is gaining, I got to tell you, it's telling me that there are some interesting things going on in the market and things that you need to go, you need to know about. Because look, when it comes to apartments, having what others will want is what's going to make these apartments worth a hell of a lot more money than they are now. And that long line of tenants wanting to rent them is going to make it even better. Okay, even better. So, when you think about where you're going to be investing in the next, I'd say 5 to 10 years, here's my advice to you. Number one, conventional investments are, and by the way, I'm not saying they're going to do poorly. So I want you to think, I'm not saying that. So I'm not saying that the Dow is going to drop in half, and I'm not saying that all stocks, there's going to be a stock market crash. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is there will be huge market swings, even greater than what we're seeing today, more frequent than what we're seeing today, and more stressful than what we're seeing today as time goes on. That's just going to be the case. Look, I love technology. I think it's great, but in this instance, not so much. Okay? Because it's giving the market almost a life of its own to make, it's almost like a two-year-old trying to decide what it wants to do and where it wants to go, and it sees a toy in the middle of the room and, you know, it's jumping all over the place. That's kind of what it is. It's going to be just like that, with the added fact that you're going to have volatility based on exposure to technology. So the ability for people to go in and not only steal your identity, to mess with your investments, to start messing around and break into companies that you're invested in, that's going to get worse. I mean, these cyber criminals, I guess that's a term they use now, they're not going to get dumber. They get smarter. They're ahead of the curve. Okay? If they're breaking into the U.S. government computer systems, I mean, look, these guys are smart. So that's going to get worse. And I don't know how much I want to be a part of that. And if you're smart, you won't expose your investments and everything that you worked hard for into somebody else's hands that could be subject to uncontrollable issues like that, right? It's just not smart. But you're going to see more of that. The other thing you're going to see is more and more tenants wanting to rent apartments. You're going to see rents going up. You're going to see demand increasing. Especially as the cost of living continues to increase in every way. You're going to see more people wanting apartments, and you're going to see more investors. And it's going to go from, yeah, I've been told I should maybe own an apartment property or maybe get involved in apartments, to what do I have to do to own an apartment property? What do I need to pay to get involved in it? Kind of like the two examples I gave you. You had two companies that have, you know, I'm sure tens or hundreds of millions in assets, and they're overpaying. They're buying these properties to give their stockholders this kind of insulation. And it's only going to get worse. Good news for you if you own apartments or any other kind of investment property similar to apartments. Okay. And so I appreciate you being with me on this podcast. If you want to talk to me more about this, I'm happy to. You know, you got questions, you want to share comments, send them my way. I'd love to hear from you. Even if you totally disagree with me, you think, you know, Darren, you're full of crap. Come on. I'd love to hear from you. Because this is what I see going on. This is what I'm seeing with what I do every day. And as kind of my sanity meter, the people that I know and I talk to that are in the financial world, and in some cases, big time financial world on a daily basis, this is what's going on. And I want you, as one of my partners, as one of my customers and clients, to know what's happening. So you can make smart decisions and you can make smart plans on what you're going to do with this information. You know, some of you may use it, some of you may not. But it's my obligation to share this information with you, I think, so you can at least know what you know and decide what to do. Better to know and do something or not do something than not know. That's kind of the way I look at this. Okay, so again, get back to me, email me, you know, go to my Twitter account and send me a tweet, that's fine. You know, whatever. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your comments. Would love to hear from you and what you think of what I've talked about. And again, even if you totally disagree with me, I want to hear it and would love to hear from you. And if you got questions, let me know. I will do my best to answer all the questions that come in. All right. Hey, thanks for joining me on this week's podcast. And have a great day. Have a great rest of your week. And look, do what you need to do. All right? Talk to you later. See you.